It comes down to failure for me because my entire life I feel like I had failed, right? Or I was not good enough. And it really took getting over that by doing versus not changing anything and expecting a different outcome. And so there's this quote by Saint Benedict, and he says, "Even when we fail, we begin again always."
MilitaryCreatorCon.com.
Roger. Hi, Andrew. Nice to see you.
Hey, Mara. Good to see you too. Thanks for having me on.
I am super glad you're here. Thank you for being patient with me while I travel to Louisiana so that I could have this great conversation with you.
Oh, it's beautiful. I love the backdrop there. I'd trade it for what I have right now, so.
You know, we travel a lot, and I know you just told me you're traveling to New Orleans coming up. Tell
That's
us a little
right.
bit about that.
Yes. Big Memphis Tigers basketball fan, and we're not doing that great this year, but it doesn't matter. I'm a supporter no matter
Oh,
what
yeah.
and get
You're
the
a true
fan out.
fan. A true fan
That's
doesn't
right.
worry about where
That's
they
right.
are at that exact moment.
Yeah, an offer to fly to New Orleans with the team for a game. I'm like, I'll be there. So,
Yeah, that's there's no schlock in that. I like that.
I know. I love it. I'm excited.
So tell me a little bit about your background. I understand you were an Apache pilot in the military.
Yes, I was. And it's crazy because I will randomly see Apaches flying overhead, refueling somewhere. And I'm like, that looks like the coolest job ever. But,
I did that job,
I know it's crazy. It's like in the cockpit, you know, it can be hours of boredom with brief moments of excitement. And it's just a job that I enjoy doing. I enjoy the mission and was lucky and fortunate to be slotted for Apaches. And so I knew that there wasn't a future in civilian combat attack helicopter roles. So I had to move on from that eventually once I had kids, and it made sense back in 2017 to hang it up. So.
Right. And how did the so what you should tell everybody is what you do. And then I want to know how you sort of got into that. Was this a family recipe? I'm giving everybody a hint.
Yes. Yeah. So it's cheese dip, spoiler alert.
Whoop.
And if you look at the track record, or I guess the blueprint for me being a cheese dip manufacturer, if that's what you want to call it. It all started with my dad's recipe, and it's something that he had just made for years since I can remember. And every gathering we had with other families, it was always expected that dad would, Charlie was his name, is his name, would bring the cheese dip. So Charlie bring the cheese dip in addition to whatever side item we had to bring. But I learned to make it. He taught me how. And I think that's where like my passion for cooking came. It's like from my dad passed on. And I continue to make, you know, not only the cheese dip, but other things that he taught me to make throughout high school, college, and military. And so it's so funny, like when I one day, you know, announced that I'm starting this business, and I get friends from all walks of life who are like, "Is this the cheese dip?" They had all had, and I'm
They
like,
all knew what you, they were like, yes, please.
"Yeah,
Yeah.
oh yeah." And
So
so I
was
was
your
like,
dad a chef? Because like, obviously if you've learned to make lots of things, was he like a chef or was he just like a great home cook?
great home cook. You know, he unfortunately grew up without a father. His dad was in the military, but passed away when he was months old. And so he was raised by his mom and his mom's sister. And it's an Italian family. Last name is Capodona. I'm like, oh man, that's so sweet to the ear. So they taught him everything, right? So, although the last name is Arbogast, which is German French. He cooked a lot of Italian meals for us, and so it just kind of transcended. My mom doesn't like to cook, which worked out perfect. And
Well, we
just
have a
so
lot in
happens my
common.
wife today doesn't like to cook, and I'm like, I got it. I
Ah,
love it.
well,
So.
you and I have a lot in common because my mother's Argentinian. My grandmother was a phenomenal Italian French cook. The best empanadas you ever had, in my opinion, humble opinion, but she passed away too
Ooh.
early. So I didn't really ever get the amazing recipe. I've had things that were close, but not quite
Yeah.
there. And I love to cook. And my mother's a terrible cook. She can't boil water. So there you have it.
Yes. It just happens, you know. I think you really have to love it necessarily to be good at it. I think, you know, my wife looks at it more of as necessary necessity to keep the children alive and herself. So
right, exactly. A need versus a want.
She thrives every other area of the house and work, full-time employment mom. She's a busybody and has time to run marathons in between. So
all I can
do is cook.
Well, that's interesting because James runs marathons too, my husband, and he is a huge cheese dip fan.
Oh my gosh.
I bet you can't guess whose chip cheese dip he likes, but just so you know, huge fan. Like that's his thing. Yeah.
Well, so, we'll have to get him hooked on Arbo's here pretty soon.
Oh no, he's already hooked. He's going to be hitting you up. Yeah. Oh, he'll be like, hello. Here's the address. Send direct need cheese dip.
Yes. I'll walk it up from New Orleans on Saturday.
Oh, it sounds great. So tell me, I understand you've had a bit of a cycle in terms of your entrepreneurship experience. I'm an entrepreneur as well. I think that's a normal thing, right? I mean, I think that your trajectory was very steep and really strong. So tell me a little bit about your journey. And then we're going to talk a little bit about Military Creator Con because I know we're going to talk about that.
I'm so excited about it. I think entrepreneurs are absolutely crazy. For lack of better terms, I didn't realize that until I'm like all the risks I was taking that I didn't second guess one bit. I'm like, it was all heart, all passion, persistence, determination. Mm. And you get into the thick of it and you're like, oh my gosh, what did I get myself?
What have I done? Yeah.
No turning back.
Yeah.
When I transitioned out of the military, you know, being a commissioned officer and an Apache pilot, I had to really fall back on my leadership more so than flying, right? So my thought was, well, it's either corporate or three-letter agency, and I don't want to be gone from my family. I just had these beautiful twins, and I'm like, I'm not hanging this up to go do the same thing somewhere else. So corporate was kind of like it made the most sense, right? And so I dove into that, and with the military connection, it was just so powerful. It's like I didn't have to apply to any jobs. I was prepared to. I was gearing up with all the resume building and negotiation, or I'm sorry, the interviewing practice and whatnot. But I got connected with this West Point grad who was a senior VP at International Paper here in Memphis, which, as you know, Bogalusa,
right,
one of our mills. That's why I'm familiar with it. But it made sense. And this guy just took me under his wing.
Nice.
And I relocated back to Memphis with where my wife and I are from. And it was going great. It was because it was new, right? It's new things I'm learning about business and finance. And, you know, coming from like a psychology degree, Apache pilot, it's like, where do I fit into this bigger picture? And it was about year three, coming on year four. And that guy that brought me under his wing, he retired. And I don't know if that was it, but I was like, I am not happy. And this is a great company. It has great pay. And with each promotion, I'm becoming more and more dissatisfied. I feel like I'm, you know, just punching the clock and my life has no meaning. And you can relate some of that
absolutely,
to like going, you know, from a cockpit to a cubicle and like, yeah, of course there's going to be some major transitions there, but
it's a purpose driven thing. I think you're purpose driven in the military. And then I think you sort of had the soul, and you might not have realized you had the pirate soul of an entrepreneur, but you did. And then I think as you got more into it, I mean, that's just sort of what I'm hearing. I could be wrong.
I was surrounded by people and I was so lonely. Because I was like, no one understands me. Not that I'm expecting to like have people come up and ask me about military, but it's like the surface level conversations that people were having, you know, I'm like, I can't, this is so meaningless. And I love people. I love being around people. So I just, unfortunately or fortunately, COVID happened. I don't want to say that because I know a lot of people obviously were impacted by it, but I'm a silver lining guy, and I love being optimistic and finding the beauty in the bad. So I feel isolated at this point working from home, and it was just a matter of waking up one day and having this idea that I'd kind of tossed around with friends, but really nothing serious. And one of my buddies said, you should listen to this podcast called How I Built This. And it was this story about the chicken salad chick lady.
Yeah.
And I listened to her story, and it like brought me to tears. I was like, this lady is something special. Now, couldn't compare myself to her, but I'm like, if she was able to figure this out, can't I? And that's all it was, is asking that question to yourself. But you needed some, I needed reassurance. I needed to know that like someone believed in me. And so I shipped some product, some cheese dip. Like I did a blind taste test with my buddy from high school who's an entrepreneur. And he has like five or six kids. They did a blind test, like I said, all including them, you know, him and his wife. So seven of them total all voted letter C, which was my dad's, Charlie. And through that conversation, when he calls back, he goes, if you don't do this, you're not the person that I thought you were. Right. So it's like, that's all I needed was that belief. And then he finishes the call by saying, oh, by the way, over 90% of startups fail in the first 5 years. Click.
Yeah.
Right?
So I'm like, yeah, that's great.
And man, it just lit a fire, Mara. And I did nothing but research on how to get barcodes, how to create an ingredient statement, how to scale this going from, you know, one serving to 2 to 10 to 50 and spilling cheese dip everywhere. It's on the walls. And, you know, it's just like, but I love it. It's like I'm sweating, and all of this going through the hustle of it all was so thrilling. And it's like I missed those days, you know. I had nothing, but I had this dream.
You had a dream. Yeah, I was just going to say, it's the vision that keeps you going sometimes, right?
That's right. And so it's like, okay, eventually I come out with this container, this tub of cheese dip, and I announce it at that point because no one knew really. And I sold 300 tubs the first weekend. It was Armed Forces weekend in May.
Wow.
2021. I didn't time that, but it worked out perfectly. Sold through all of it. And I'm like, great, now what? Because I don't have any staff. It's just me. And I'm asking my wife to let me, you know, leave the house at odd hours and, you know, just crazy stuff really on paper. But I just keep building it. And finally, I hire someone to make it for me. Then I get shut down by the USDA or Department of Agriculture because you can't make cheese dip for retail in a food service restaurant, right? Like you can't cook you can't make packaged products. It has to be a commercial kitchen. So they're like, nope, stop. And I went and found what's called a co-packer, someone that I would give the recipe to. And I mean, I was turned down a million times before someone finally said yes.
But then, so the co-packers who you were going to pay to do this turned you down?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Interesting.
Yes, and they should. I didn't think so at the time. I'm like, well, how come no one believes in me? How come no one's giving me a chance? It's because they see it all too often. Someone's got this recipe and they want to take it to market. Well, the first thing the co-packer's going to ask is, who are your customers? Not how many, but who. They want to know. Because if they're going to go through the R&D and the trial and error of making it perfect because their name's on it and they're liable too because they're the manufacturer, they're not going to do all that unless you have a customer. Well, a big customer is not going to bring you on unless you have a manufacturer.
Ooh, that's 22.
Yes, yes. Mm. So there was some fudging, right? Like I had to go to Kroger and say, we can manufacture for, you know, all stores in the Delta division. They're like, okay, you know, this is a year of going back and forth when I finally was like, yeah, let's go. And I'm like, how am I going to do this? So it's almost like you have to get one yes to fill in the gap, to fill in what you need for that co-packer to bring you on. And like you said, catch 22. And it never stops, really.
No,
it's
it doesn't.
Constant. But now it's October of 22, and we're launching our product in 100 Kroger stores out of Nashville and Memphis area, that's all awesome. Over the Mid-South. And I outgrew that small co-packer that brought me on. I move into a bigger co-packer, and it rained, like, in a good way.
Oh.
Yes, I had all the confidence in the world that I could go and pursue the big names, right? The Walmarts, the Publix stores, the Harris Teeters, all these, like, significant retail. And I got into all of them. So it's like I went from about 100 independent stores, 100 Kroger, so 200 stores, to about 2,000.
That's over, a lot of stores in no time.
And
that's a ramp up if I ever heard of one.
Oh, yeah. And everything says don't do it. Everyone says don't do it because you're not supposed to really bring on more than one retailer at a time. It's for cash flow reasons. You're going to go right. through. And I was like, no, I got this. This is all happening for a reason. It may not have worked for the 100 people or 100 examples you just gave me, but it's going to work for me. So I do this. I launch, and within, 90 days, I add all these locations, and I thought I'd made it. And I'm still solo, right? I don't have any help.
You're making me so nervous now.
I know. I outsource everything, right?
Right.
And so I'm kind of like, man, this is easy. All I got to do is forward purchase orders to the manufacturer and move on to the next thing. And then the hits start coming. You go to check on a late payment from a retailer, and they're like, oh, no, it's not late. You actually owe us $75,000. I'm like, you have me confused with somebody else. They're like, no, your product didn't sell, and we had to dispose of $75,000 worth of cheese dip. Mm. And then it's almost as like that was the first big blow. And then they just kept coming and coming and coming. So this is like, 23 going into 24. I'm fighting to say, stay alive. I'm like,
right.
How can anyone survive this? I blew all the money I made in digital marketing. I thought if I just spent $20,000 a month on Facebook and Instagram and, covering 20 states, of course it would work. And it didn't. It didn't move the needle one bit. So I lost 1,500 or more of those stores overnight.
Wow.
I'm in $600,000 of debt. I owe the co-packer another $150,000 because why is it their fault, right? It's not. Why is it my fault? Well, this is part of the game. You signed up for it. You wanted this. You wanted to grow so fast, and you accepted that risk. And it's almost as if this is how my story was supposed to go, because there is no success story that comes, or good success story that comes without like all of these failures. And I think it was the failures that, tried to break me. And I did break. I mean, I gave up to the point where I'm like, I don't know what to do anymore. And I have to, fall back on my faith and ask God, like, what? It's up to you at this point. I have no idea how I'm going to survive because I'm going to be bankrupt. I'm going to lose my house. My wife didn't sign up for this, and I'm going to be homeless on the streets, right? Like, that's where I was. And then it wasn't even a week later, I get a call from an owner, CEO of a company here in Memphis, and it's Corky's Barbecue, right? So I go in, and I'm like, you can have all of it, 100%. Take it all. I just need a salary. Like, I need to be employed. Tell me what you want me to do. Also, I understand if you don't want to take it because there's a lot of debt. And he said, you're on your knees right now and you shouldn't be. You have an incredible story, a powerful story. We want to invest in you. You're going to stay majority owner. We're going to take care of the partners. We're going to, take care of the debt.
Wow.
We're going to give you a new start. And like I said, it's one of those things where you don't believe it in the moment. And all the things that I was doing or trying to do myself and bad at, like the financials, logistics, and ops, wearing all the hats, they're like, we got all that. They're like, we got all that. We're in retail. They're in thousands of doors. Like, you go be Arbo. And I'm like, I don't deserve you, right? And so that basically allowed me to start over and get back into my stores that I lost. And so from, you know, the end of October 24 through now, we've regained 1,000 stores, and we're adding new retailers that we didn't have before. We're adding some of the previous ones that we had. And it just changed not only the belief in this, because it, you know, I lost all belief in it. I'm like, it's done. My dad, who's still with us, of course, was helping me. And I'm like, I let him down. I let everyone down. And all it takes was all of that activity and all of that, all the relationships that I had made along the way, and just doing the right thing, doing good business, right?
Mm-hmm.
It all came back in a way that it's like I got more than what I gave, right?
So I believe you don't know what you don't know. And when you put good out there, good comes back to you. And I kind of feel like that's kind of what you're saying here. I think it's amazing that you have had that, I'll call it a wave. I've been riding the wave lately. That's what I say. It's like my expression. You had this amazing wave. And I love that. What's the one takeaway that you would leave this call with for the people who are watching? What's their one takeaway?
I think it comes down to failure for me, because my entire life I feel like I had failed, right? Or I was not good enough. And it really took getting over that by doing versus not changing anything and expecting a different outcome. And so there's this quote by Saint Benedict, and he says, even when we fail, we begin again, always. So I carry that with me all the time.
Yeah, that's great.
Look, it's right here. I have, you know, a little Arbo's challenge coin.
Oh, that's, I want one of those.
Yeah, I got you.
Oh, I love it. Oh my God, with your little Apache there.
That's right.
Oh my gosh, I love that.
But the hidden message on it is at the bottom, and it says, even when we fail, always we begin again, because it means so much to me about picking yourself back up and not letting those lessons learned determine the next stage, the next day.
And when you wouldn't be who you are today without all the things that have happened to you. That's what I believe. I believe I'm a little bit of a weirdo, which I won't dispute. But the woman I am today is the culmination of all the things that have ever happened to me, and I wouldn't change a thing. Okay, there's a couple I wish I'd done a little differently, but
right,
you know, if you were talking to my 18-year-old self, I'd be like, three words: take the royalties.
Yes.
Fight for the royalties. That would be that's my joke. But anyway, so you're going to be at Military CreatorCon. Talking about your story, talking about your brand, teaching people about entrepreneurship and about moving forward through, you know, failing forward, so to speak. Maybe that's, you know, kind of a tried and true thing to say. But we're really excited to have you. Why are you going to be part of Military CreatorCon? And we've got to keep it real short because we've only got about a minute. But why in the world would you want to be a part of Military CreatorCon?
It's in my core to show up, to give without expecting anything in return. And I've found that surrounding myself with veterans that have the same aspirations and ambitions feel the same way. And so this network, whether it's something I've been to or haven't, I crave, and I don't get enough of it, right? So it's like, even if this was 4 times a year, Mara, I'd be like, we should do 8.
I love it.
That to me is the only fulfillment I need out of this. And hopefully I help someone. Maybe I develop some connections that can help me. Don't care, because I want to give, and that's just who I am.
Well, you know what? The heart that you have is kind of what, you know, I think the rest of the community who is a part of this has. It's all about supporting one another and collaborating with one another, loving one another, and just being there to kind of pick you up, because somebody picked me up. Somebody picked you up. You're there to pick somebody else up. It's, you know, it's just about being there. I love it. Thank you so much. I'm super excited to to hear you speak. And a little tidbit for anybody who's watching is we've got your schedule. Woo! I know what it is already.
Yes. Well, I'm honored to have been accepted because I didn't think I would. And once I got the...
amazing.
I'm looking at the people that spoke last year. I'm like, who wants to hear about cheese dip?
Everybody. James particularly. But I'm just saying, everybody does. We all want to know about you. I mean, I think that's the kind of cool thing about our community, to be honest with you, is that, and I'll leave everybody with this, is that we care. Everybody cares about what everybody else does. And that's a great thing. We're very, very lucky to have that. Yeah.
Well, I'm appreciative and can't wait for it. So thank you for bringing me into it.
Thanks for coming. I can't wait to see you in person soon.
Likewise.
Bye.
MilitaryCreatorCon.com.
Great XQ. Roger.